There is nothing worse than untapped potential. If you know that you're made for more, this is the place. I know that every successful person I've ever met has one thing in common. They do not let themselves fall victim to their circumstances. They figure out a way to rise above it. So join me on this journey where I help you to be better, do better, and have better in life and in business. If you're feeling stuck and you're needing some practical tools, some hope to get you to that better life, this is definitely the place for you. Hey everybody, welcome to the Unstuck Podcast. I am so excited that you're here. I'm the host, Lachelle Weemy, and we get a chance to have a really amazing conversation with my new friend, Beth Corditz. You guys, she is a counselor. She is a coach. She is all about the things that we are about here at the Unstuck Podcast, ways to get ourselves from where we are to where we want to be. And I am just so excited for you to be here in this conversation today, Beth, and we can learn from you and your wisdom and your inspiration. So welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Lachelle. I'm so excited to be here.
Okay. So I would love for you to tell us more about who you are and who you serve. Give us the insight into all of the passion that you have for the world today.
Okay. Well, so who I am a licensed professional counselor. I came to that late in life. I didn't graduate with my master's till I was 50, and that whole journey and transition feeds right into your message. Yeah. But so I'm a LPC, and after 8 years in practice, I started coaching as well. So I do both right now, and they're separate, but I tell my coaching clients that I bring all of my skills and tools and expertise to the coaching as a therapist to the coaching table.
Yes.
So they
yes.
get kind of a double whammy.
They do. That's a blessing, because that is rare that we have the merger of the two. And for the audience that are unfamiliar, I guess, with the difference between a coach and a counselor, how would you describe that?
Well, as a therapist and a counselor, I work with people on mental health issues, mm-hmm. anxiety, depression, trauma. And as a coach, what happened was I was a coach before I went to school for my master's degree. And the people I was coaching, I could tell they had things that they had to work through that were out of my scope of expertise.
Yeah.
And if I really wanted to help them, I needed the knowledge, the expertise of a therapist also. So I went back to school for 2 years and got my master's.
Oh my gosh. The servant heart that you have resonates with me so much, because that's, you know, how I feel as well. Like, how could I help and serve these people? And you saw that and you're like, I'm going back to school. And I love that. One of the things that has always helped me kind of decipher the two is that therapy and counseling is really making sense of what's happened to us in the past and healing what's happened to us in the past. And to me, coaching has always been focusing on the future of where we're going. And that's kind of how I've deciphered it. Is that even remotely accurate?
That's very accurate. That would have been part two. That's very accurate.
Okay.
And it's moving forward. Also, coaching can be much more directive than therapy. You know, therapy is a lot of listening and guiding, but in coaching, you can really say, here's what you should do.
Yes.
And as a therapist, I would never say that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think that one of the things that you've mentioned that I thought was so insightful as well is that you were a coach and then you decided that you wanted to learn more about therapy. And I think that what that does is it highlights what I see as well in my clients is that it is often really hard for us to go forward unless we've healed the things that continue to show up in patterns from our past. And we oftentimes want that dream career, and we want a coach to push us in the right direction, and we want our business to blossom, and we want all of these things. But until we start to address the deeper issues of lack of confidence, lack of belief, trauma, triggering, all of those things, sometimes it's hard for us to take the steps forward. And sometimes what I find is that as a coach, I can lead you, I can give you a strategy, but there's a gap between knowing and doing.
Right.
And the gap between knowing and doing is oftentimes rooted in the things that we have unhealed from our past. Do you find the same?
Right. Absolutely. The self-limiting beliefs mm-hmm. and the fears that are blocking us from that forward movement.
Yes.
And, you know, it's a pet peeve of mine and and I'm not putting all coaches in the same basket, but not all coaches have the knowledge and the expertise to help clients pass those bigger, deeper things. And I was just watching a coach on a reality show, real coach, real client, right? And I was cringing, like just cringing, like saying, that's not what this is about. You know? He needs help with this.
Oh my.
So I just tell people you really need to do your homework before you hire a coach some, you need to see a therapist and a coach.
Yeah. Or to trust that the person that you're working with knows enough to say, this is maybe out of my wheelhouse. Because I think that coaching is as well. One of the things that I love about coaching is that oftentimes what a coach does is it helps the person that you're talking with discover and unravel the knowledge, the truth that they already have inside of them. It's not necessarily me telling you what to do. It's helping you discover that you've already always known the answer. It's like the Wizard of Oz. Like she already had the ability to go home. She just didn't know it yet. And it took the Wizard of Oz to bring that out of her. And I think that sometimes though, you can get to a place, right, where you're like, okay, I don't know if what I have is able to bring this person, you know, down that yellow brick road. I need to bring in an expert into this group for me to help with that journey. Yeah.
Well, even as a therapist, I do that. You know, I can have a client come to me and say, you know, that's not my scope of expertise, but let me refer you to somebody who really specializes in that.
Yeah.
We can't all do everything well.
Absolutely.
And I think our clients really respect us for that. I don't, they don't think of us as less than, they appreciate that.
Yes, 100%. And that's their servant heart in you and the servant heart in me that's connecting with that. What made you just so passionate about doing what it is that you're doing? How did you get into this in the first place? And can you relate to the people that you help?
Oh, I totally relate to the people that I help because I help the people that, like I say a lot in my social media, I know you because I am you.
Yes.
You know, the people I work with, I've been there or been close to there. I get where they're coming from because I probably came from there.
Yes.
What got me into it was I had been like I can't think of the word, but like a repetitive entrepreneur. I had done so many things with my life because once I did them, once I created this business or that thing and got it going and was successful, then I became bored because my juice was in the creation.
Yeah.
I went in, Can you relate to that? So I went into a mastermind, a year-long mastermind program. And at the end of it, I was like coaching others. And the coach who was leading it said to me, you really should be a coach. So I was like, then I can do one thing, but I can help people do all these different things and not get bored. And so then I was like 47, maybe I had just come out of a bankruptcy because I was building homes at the time and it was 2008 when the market crashed. Lost everything, had to file bankruptcy. So I was really starting from scratch. My life had literally turned upside down. Now starting from nothing. And so I thought I would love that. And then that's where the story comes, became a coach, went back to school. But man, I had fears because I was so stuck. As you know, starting a private practice, it's not like the money just starts rolling in. You can't support your family as a private practice at the beginning. I mean, often for a few years, you can't.
Any small business. And I think that that's something that a lot of us have to recognize, that so many small businesses don't stick with it because they don't realize that it can take up to 3 to 5 years for a business to start to create profit. And some people just don't have the patience for that process. And I'm probably, you know, just like you, I get, you know, excited by the creativity, that sometimes can be a hard thing. So yeah, absolutely.
And you have to be a good business person also. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't just be a good therapist. I also have to be a good business person because I'm creating and running a business, right?
Yes.
So I was actually, before this, before I went to school, I was so stuck. I had so many limiting beliefs and fears. Oh my gosh, the list of fears was so long.
Can you give us an idea of some of those? Because I would think that it's important for us to name them so that we can relate to you, because I think that I probably had all of them as well. So name a few of those if you would.
Okay, so first of all, you have to remember I was 48 years old at the time, and I had owned and run many businesses, mm-hmm. and many nonprofit. Like, I was a camp director, I was all kinds of things, right? Yeah. So the fears were, what are people going to think? That's always the number one fear with every client.
Yep.
You boil it down. Everything can be boiled down to, what are people going to think, right? Are they going to think that I just keep going from job to job? Are they, you know, how flaky are they going to think I am, right? How, I can't afford it. I just went through a bankruptcy. How am I going to afford grad school? What if I'm not good at it? What if I don't like it? I mean, on and on and on,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
But it was that service heart, mm-hmm. that I just knew that this was for me.
Yeah.
And once I said, I had this like day where a friend invited me to a dream workshop. And I'm like, I'll go. I had no idea if it was the dreams you have at night. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a woman who runs Dream University. Okay. And she paired us up with strangers. Brilliant. Because you don't care what they think.
Yes.
And I broke through every fear and limiting belief in that day with like tears coming down my face. I know this is what I want to do. I'm willing to not. Oh, also, am I going to make enough money? Because yeah. therapists do not make that much money, right?
Yeah.
I don't care if I don't make enough money. I'm willing to change my level of living. I don't care what other people think because I'm going to be happy. I'm really not afraid of not being good at this. I know I'm going to be good at this. Yes. And just like, boom, boom, boom. And I went home and synchronicity was on fire. I went home and within 24 hours, I had applied to 2 universities. I had student loans that would cover not only the fees, but living expenses. I got a part-time job with flexible hours. Yeah. Like, when it's right,
yes.
everything dominoes right into place.
Absolutely.
As if it's magic, right?
Absolutely. And I find that sometimes, you know, the first step is really recognizing the desire for better. And then the second one is deciding, making the decision that you're willing to do what it takes to make that happen. You're willing to learn the things, you're willing to apply for the loans, you're willing to figure it out. And oftentimes I think that gets people tripped up. And then the last part is the execution, the doing, the showing up for class the first day and following through on what you told yourself. And that's amazing, because I think that trips a lot of people up. Do you find the same?
It does. And it's hard. You know, I always tell my clients, you don't eliminate fears, mm-hmm. but we're going to reduce them to the point that you can just step over it and say, yeah, I'm scared, but I can walk through this level of fear now, because it's not like this, it's down here now.
So one of the things that you said that I want to highlight as well is that you got to a point with the conversation with the stranger that you mentioned, that you started to believe that it was possible for you, that you believed that it could be you, that this could happen, that you could be good at it. And that was the thing that gave you enough courage to take the first step and, you know, overcome that first fear, in a sense. Does that sound accurate, or do you find that?
I think it's that combined with breaking through the fear of what people are going to think. Mm-hmm. You can't be authentic.
Right.
And that's my whole thing, right? I mean, my business, my corporation is the Authenticity Academy. You can't be authentic if you are more worried about what somebody's going to think of you than you care about being yourself.
100%.
Right.
And I think that You're absolutely right, because this is the thing. One of the things that I found is that when people don't believe that it's possible for them, they don't take the additional steps to make it happen. But what you're saying is that if I care so much about what other people think of me, the failure of being it failing in front of them is actually what is causing the disbelief in myself.
I don't think it's connected to failure even.
Okay.
Because somebody can go out and be super successful, but still be worried about what people think about what they're doing.
Right.
And how they're doing it, how they're presenting themselves.
But so
I don't think it's tied to failure.
Yeah. Okay. But even to be,
I think,
to start to the, in the first place, like to take that first step to start.
I think the first step is to say what I know is right for me, my happiness, my journey for joy is more important than what somebody else is going to think. I have to put that above, you know, if somebody has an opinion that is so strong that we can no longer be friends, that's on them, right? Yes. I'm not here to like please everybody else. Yeah. I'm here to serve and I'm here to love my life.
I have goosebumps. Right? I have goosebumps. And I think that the people pleasing and the fear of what other people think is something that I've personally struggled with myself. It's what I see a lot of people are held back by. And I wish I could give credit to the person who said this. I don't remember where I heard it, but they said that when you believe so strongly about, you know, or care so strongly about what other people think, you're putting their opinion higher than your own opinion.
Yeah. And not just your own opinion. Can I tell you a silly story that happened just 2 days ago?
Okay. Yes.
My mother brought me lunch and we're sitting here having lunch and somehow the subject came up and I said to her, this is a lot of personal information. Okay. TMI maybe, but
no,
I said to her, like, yeah, I'm like not even wearing a bra anymore. I'm over it. You know?
Yeah.
She's like, well, out of the house you do. And I'm like, no, not, I really don't.
Yeah.
And she says, well, you know, that's not okay. And I said, you know what? I wear bras for other people's comfort.
Yes.
So that they feel comfortable looking at me. They hurt me. I mean, they physically hurt me.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of doing, now if I'm getting all dressed up, if I'm wearing something white, like there are exceptions,
but absolutely.
I'm not going to wear a bra so that you and everybody else is more comfortable.
Right.
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 It's a little thing, but my life is full of those little things.
Yes. 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 And it's the thought, it's the feeling, it's the self-worth behind it. And I remember the first time, so I used to be in a place where I wouldn't leave the house unless I was all done up. Like I wouldn't even wear like back before athleisure wear was so big, like I wouldn't even wear like sweatpants out to Walmart because I just couldn't do it. And I remember like when I started my first network marketing business, I got into skincare, which is something that's hilarious because I wasn't even washing my face, but this is where my journey was going to lead me. But that changed my life because what happened was I started to wash my face, which started to change the way I was feeling about myself. Now I was noticing the way that my skin felt different or I was looking, you know, my skin was changing. But it wasn't even about the physical part. It was about the fact that I was starting to feel different on the inside. I was starting to build confidence on the inside that made me not only go to Walmart with whatever the hell I wanted to wear, but I didn't even leave the house with makeup on to go out anywhere. And it was so freeing. And it was that first step to say, I don't care. I'm good enough the way I am. And that was the journey that brought me there. As silly as it sounds, it's totally what brought me there. And it was freeing because you start to recognize that, I'm wearing makeup for you. If I don't feel like putting makeup on, why should I have to? Right?
Mm-hmm. You know, just last night, and I don't know why, but maybe for this conversation, you know, I'm certified in body positive psychology. I'm very anti-diet, like that whole intuitive eating thing. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, all of a sudden, this line from decades ago, nothing feels as good as skinny, and how disgusting that was and how harmful that was.
Yeah.
But But I, as you're telling that story, I am thinking of the line, really, truly, nothing feels as good as authenticity.
No.
It is so freeing, so opening. You are so happy. And yeah. It's so life-changing. I can't, there aren't words to describe how life-changing it is. Wouldn't you agree?
100%. You wouldn't even recognize me from 6 years ago. And I've stepped mm-hmm. into my authenticity and into my vulnerability and to be willing to be open and be scared, knowing that it might bless someone. And that's what you come back to is the servant in you says, this mm-hmm. is for them. This is not for me. This is not about me anymore. Because when I think we put ourselves into this place where I can't put myself out there, I can't fail, I can't be judged by these people, we're making it about us. Instead of the person or people that we might be serving by doing the things that we've been afraid to do.
Mm-hmm. So do we have time for me to just mention like what I believe as a clarity coach, the very first step is to all of this?
Yes. And you guys, what I think we're going to do is I'm going to ask Beth to share those. And I want to get into all of these amazing tools that she has. But first, I'm going to tell you all about something that I have created with my team to help you connect with people like Beth. I want to bring my experts that I get so graciously get to meet into your living rooms through Zoom in a very private, intimate kind of table. And I want to tell you all about it. So hang tight for a couple of those details. And we're going to come back. And Beth, I want you to dive right into that. Hey, Lichelle here. And I just got to ask you, do you ever listen to podcasts or special training from gurus who are telling you exactly what to do, but you still have questions? Wouldn't it be amazing if you actually could ask questions to the people who are presenting to give you your personalized answer to how you can get into action and apply it to your unique situation? That is exactly why I created the Better Club Elite, which is a very special, very exclusive monthly membership that gives you access to those question and answer sessions that are going to get you into action and get you all lined up with everything that you need to start being better, doing better, and having better in life and in business. The support, the answers, and everything that you need to get you into action. So let's go. All right, Beth, why don't you go ahead and share that tip with us and all of the other beautiful, beautiful things that we can learn from you.
Okay, so thank you. Step one, it may sound silly, but it's learning who you really are.
Okay.
So if I were to say to a client, I say even to my therapy clients, tell me about who you are. And they will always, first of all, the first answer is usually 95% say, I don't know. I don't know. And it's sad. It's like shocking for them to realize that.
Right.
And then, right. I mean, tears. It's heart-wrenching for somebody to think, like, I don't know who I am. If I ever knew, I don't know anymore.
Because right? Is that our self-image is just a reflection of what we think everybody else's opinions of us are? Is that part
no,
of
it? I think it's that when I ask, first, they will say, well, I'm a mother, I'm a teacher, right. I'm a wife, I'm a, right? And I'm like, that's what you do.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Those are the roles you fill. Mm-hmm. It doesn't tell me anything about who you are.
Yeah.
Right. So often a whole session, if not more than a session, and that's always the first homework assignment, yeah. is I want a list of all of your traits, all of your qualities. Yeah. And like, give me 25. And they're like, 25, like that freaks them out. Right? And I'm like, really, by the end, I'll probably ask for more than that. But that's always the first assignment. And I always tell them, it's an adjective. It's a one word adjective. Don't give me nouns, right? There's a difference. And, you know, I know you're very spiritual. Who you are comes from your soul. Mm-hmm. What you do comes from your human essence.
Yes.
Right. Who you are doesn't change with circumstances in your life. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So if you say you're a mom, well, tell me what makes you a good mom.
Yeah.
Because what makes you a good mom is going to still be with you. You know, mom might not have been the best, because I don't want to say when you're not a mom, but your teacher, tell me what makes you a good teacher. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, people say I'm an athlete. Well, but who are you going to be if you tear your knee and right. can't be an athlete anymore?
Right, right. Yeah.
Who you are stays with you, right? So that's the fundamental.
Yeah.
Before fears and limiting beliefs. That's the fundamental. If you don't start there, what are you building your confidence on? Right. That's confidence awful. Isn't, if your confidence is based on what a great athlete you are, that's fleeting.
Yeah.
But if your confidence is based on your qualities as a human being, that's with you to stay. Mm-hmm. And the power that comes from looking at that long list of qualities, when you have a dip, mm-hmm. you go back to that list.
Yeah.
My clients, I have lists galore.
Yeah.
For my clients, lots of lists.
So, okay. I'm going to ask something that I'm just curious on, and this is a vulnerability for me, but one of the things that I have found with myself, that's my biggest, you know, if I had to be really honest, is a fear of being misunderstood and a fear that someone else's perception of me will be inaccurate, and that my character will be not recognized, if that makes any sense. Okay.
Absolutely.
And so do you have any advice on that, as far as, because you know who you are, and why is it that I care so much that other people can see those qualities?
Because your, at least some of your confidence is based on external validation. You have to be able to get everything you need from internal validation. Because if you don't believe it, why are you going to get it?
Right.
Okay. So I'm going to throw just the start of three big concepts if I can.
Yes.
Can I do that? I can do it quickly. Okay. So one is external versus internal validation.
Okay.
Okay. The next is you have to hold yourself 100% responsible for everything you think and you say and you do. All of your thoughts, all of your actions, and all of your emotions. Think, feel, and do. Okay. 100%. So if you're 100% responsible and that person's 100% responsible, there's no responsibility left for you to hold on behalf of them. Okay.
Right. Right.
And then the final one is, at the end of the day, you want to just be able to look in the mirror and say, today I was my best authentic self, or I tried to be my best authentic self. Here's where I slipped. Tomorrow I will try to do better.
Yeah.
So if you take your circumstance and you say, I am responsible for, I take responsibility for everything I said in the way I said it. Mm-hmm. And you say, I did it as my best authentic self, which means for you, I'm certain, honesty, vulnerability, compassion for the others, right?
Yep.
And you can't take any responsibility for how they are processing it.
Right.
You were true to yourself. The rest is up to them.
And, you know, one of the things that you said that I really want to dive into, you guys, is that she had to kind of tell me what I already know, in the sense that other people's opinions are based upon their own experiences, their own pain, their own fears, their own programming. And so two people could look at the exact same painting and describe it in two completely different ways. And so there's no way for me to ever control, ever, 100% how somebody else is going to view me or what they're going to think of me. And so it's interesting how we get so hung up on that when it.
I want to say there's no way for you to control 1% of how somebody is going to view you, think about what you've said. I mean, even 1%, there's not. That's why the 100% philosophy that I have is so meaningful, really. They don't have 99% control.
Right.
For you to have one.
Yeah.
You know, now if somebody's going in, fire's blazing, and they're not being compassionate and they're not taking care of their words and they're not being authentic, well, then they have to take responsibility for how they presented it that way. Right.
Yeah.
I could see why she'd be hurt because I was cruel. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. So what other things, you have like I wish I could talk to you all day. I know Beth and I chatted before this. She's like, so you want us to go through all of this in like 45 minutes? I guess we'll just have to have her back, or we'll have to have her in the Unsuck backstage. I mean, there's lots of solutions we have to this problem, but
yeah, I'd love that.
I would love to just kind of continue to pick your brain as far as things that you see as common things that we all deal with and ways that you can help us move forward. What things could we start executing or thinking about today that we haven't already discussed?
I think changing behavior patterns.
Okay.
You know, that's a big one. And in order to change behavior patterns, really, number one is self-compassion. Yeah. And can I give you a resource? Can I give everybody a resource outside of you and I?
Of course. Of course.
Dr. Kristen Neff, N-E-F-F.
Okay.
She's done a TED talk on self-compassion. She's written many books on self-compassion. Okay. Uh-huh. And she has a website called self-compassion.org.
Okay. We'll put that in the show notes so that people can have access to that easily. Excellent. Okay.
It's my best resource to help my clients with it. You know, a 17-minute TED talk isn't too much to ask a client to watch.
No.
And my therapy clients, all of them see it. Often I ask them, go back, watch it again. It's been a few months. Yeah. But having self-compassion, look, we all talk nasty to ourselves. We all talk nastier to ourselves than we would to any other human being alive.
Right. We do.
Right. Even you and I, who have done our work and are helping others, right?
Yes.
So people, when behavior patterns aren't just changed and changed permanently, people get upset with themselves. But, you know, when we're talking about the intuitive eating, right, thing and the body positivity, you know, I tell my clients, I had 5 decades of bad thoughts and bad teachings and knowledge and pain and trauma, right? Mm-hmm. I will probably always have bad thoughts around food daily, but I know how to correct them.
Yes. Right.
I know how to correct them. And I don't beat myself up for having them.
Yeah. So give me an idea. You use food as an example, and I'm assuming that the what you do around that could be applicable to really anything that we get hung up on. So how do you change that thought? You said that I can have those, you know, those thoughts daily, but I've learned to adjust them. Tell me how you do that so that we can execute that in our own lives.
So that comes to mindfulness, which is something we haven't talked about, right? Okay. That comes to self-awareness and not being on autopilot.
Yep.
So that we catch our thoughts before they're before we've heard them, digested them, and buried them. We catch them as we're having them or right afterwards and allow ourselves a do-over. Say, I didn't mean that. Okay. Like, how many times do you do something and you're like, oh my God, that was so stupid. I was so stupid.
Yeah.
And to just be, oh, I'm not stupid. That was just a silly mistake. You get do-overs.
Yeah. And right? we totally can, you guys, we can reprogram our brains. Our brain is plastic in the sense, neuroplasticity is a thing where we can reprogram the channels and the signals inside of our brain if you're consciously intentional about doing that. And I thank you for giving that example to us and the hope that that can happen. And the most important part is the authenticity that you brought to the table, knowing that even when you become an expert, even when you have, you know, all of these years of knowledge, we still are human beings with programming that has been put into our brains since before we had any control over that. And it takes time, and it's taken a whole lifetime to build that programming. It's going to take time and compassion to reprogram it. And I want to thank you for just being vulnerable enough and authentic enough to say, hey guys, like, this happens to the best of us, right?
It does. The, you know, and I can hear somebody out there saying, well, why am I going to come to you for help if you haven't helped yourself enough to get past it? But the difference is, one, I help you, we help yeah. you yeah. come out the other side of it, not feeling bad about yourself, right? At the end of the day, right. or at the end of right. the hour. And it happens for when you're doing your work. I'm so glad you used the word intentional. It's about living intentionally mm-hmm. all the time, right? Mm-hmm. When you are living intentionally, we do it less and less and less. Mm-hmm. Doesn't yep. mean we'll ever get to a zero.
Right. Right.
But less and less, and with more self-compassion and kindness. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, you brought up a point that I want to also address, because I think sometimes people that are in a profession that are needing to be experts are very afraid to be authentic and vulnerable because they don't want to lose that credibility, right? Whereas I have found that the people that I go to for help are the ones that I know have already been on the journey that I'm on, and that they are going to be a guide that are going to compassionately take me from where I am to where I want to be, because they have already been on that road and they understand, and they can treat me in a way that does not allow me to feel judged, and they can walk alongside me with not only book knowledge, but wisdom, true wisdom from a life lived. And I think that the thing that we have to acknowledge, you guys, is that number one, we're living in a fallen world and our brains are not perfect. Number two is that coaches need coaches, because everybody has blind spots. And I literally just got off the phone with a friend who's a coach, and she's like, oh, but you already probably know this, but I need to hear it.
And we have different ways,
ways and reminders, and like, hey, Lachelle, you're not using this. I know you know it, but I don't see you using it, sister. We need that, because
every good coach has.
Yes. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think that I'm going to encourage you guys, if you're a professional and you're like, I don't want to lay out my vulnerability out there, let Beth, you know, be an inspiration to you, because she's done it like so beautifully that it makes you want to just be around you, because you know that you have our genuine well-being at your heart, and that's what motivates and drives you, and that you're willing to take us through the journey that's going to be smoother than perhaps the one that you went on, right?
Thank you. And you know, I have to say, this didn't come naturally to me. You know, I fully started embodying my authentic self 10 years ago, 12 years ago. You know, I was almost 50 before this journey really got to the good stuff. And speaking of vulnerability, I mean, I wrote an autobiography. I wrote a memoir about this, because my journey has been so difficult. I've been through so many crazy, crazy things, like being paralyzed from the shoulders down, insane things. The bankruptcy, divorce, right? And I put it all out there in the memoir, all of it, because I wanted people to follow my journey and learn from it.
Yes.
Which, you know, help themselves here. From it.
Absolutely. And right. Before we tie up this conversation, I wanted to just ask, because I wanted to ask this early on, and I want to go back to this. So you were in a state where you lost, you know, everything. You were in the bankruptcy. You were, you know, not 20 years old anymore, where it's easy to make fresh starts. So many of us can get sucked into the victim mindset of, I don't even know where to start. I'm poor me that I'm in this situation. Give us some idea of how you were able to get yourself into action so that you can inspire those of us who are sitting here thinking, I'm stuck. I just want to feel sorry for myself. Because you did it so beautifully, in the sense that
Well, it sounds like I did, but you know,
tell us about that.
It's about resilience. So even like the name of my book is Resilience Road, because if you're not resilient, then you do just sit on a log and your life passes you by and you're not happy ever. Right.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm a fighter, and I just knew that nobody's going to make my life better except me. And I was a mother. I had two young daughters to raise, a single mother. And so it was, for me, it wasn't about doing, it was about what am I going to do?
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
That's powerful, guys, because what she did was why, but what am I going to do? How am I going to do it? What is the next step that I have to take? And I think that that is sometimes the first thing that we can do, is instead of wondering why, and this is a verse that keeps coming up in the last couple of days for me, is trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not onto your own understanding. And I think that sometimes we try to come up with the meaning so much, but if we trust, the path will end up being straight. And I think that I thank you for giving us a very practical, real life example of how we can start to step up in things that seem heavy, that seem hard, and to be ourselves. Have you written a book yet on how to get over like people pleasing and the opinions of others?
Not specifically, but that's part of my journey that was in Resilience Road. I, at that point, was willing to do anything.
Yeah.
And I needed to earn money. And I even worked for a recycler at a food festival, pulling all the recyclable items out of the garbage. Right? So here I am in the public, digging through garbage cans to pull out recyclables for $10 an hour.
That's amazing that you've gotten to that point. And I think the reason I asked that is because, number one, I'd love to read a book about that from you. So I'm going to put that seed in there. And I'm also,
I mailed you my book, I think. Did you get it?
I never got
it. Talk about it afterwards.
Okay.
I'll resend it.
And I'm also going to give you an idea for your book title on how to get rid of all of our opinions and caring about what everybody thinks. And it's called Who the Bra Anyway? I'm just teasing.
I love that.
But I do, because I think it's honestly, I'm actually kind of serious, because I feel like it's such a symbol of we do things for other people. And when we get to really truly understand who we are, that's when we can show up as a whole version of ourselves and serve people in a way that actually has love overflowing through us and out, instead of needing it from other people. And that is where that wholeness is. And when you experience that, there's nothing like it. And I just thank you for taking us on this journey. Like I said, I could talk to you all day. When I wrap up conversations, I want to make sure that, is there anything else that you want us to know about? You talked about your book. Is there anything coming up or any last thoughts that you want to make sure that we address?
Yeah, absolutely. So first, I want to give you a vision just for your what you just said, right? And the inner validation, outer. So all your inner validation is the whole cupcake with frosting, but external validation, somebody like giving you a compliment about, that's just the cherry. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
100. So, beautiful, beautiful visualization.
Thank you. I think visualizations are important. Like, because now next time when something happens, you can think of that cupcake.
Yeah. I'm already a whole beautiful, yummy cupcake. The cherry is a bonus. The cherry is a bonus. 100%. Okay. So you guys, if you haven't already had a chance to take a screenshot of this conversation and, you know, taking a screenshot of the label on the podcast in order to get the word out about Beth, make sure that you do that now. We need to make sure that we have people that need to hear this, know all about everything that she's doing, because my goodness, like, she's been a blessing to me. And I hope that you guys can feel the exact same. Beth, one of the things that I do, as we wrap up every single interview that I do, is I ask my guests to give our audience one question that you would like them to think about that's going to take them from where they are to where they want to be. So what would you like
The very first question is, who are you?
Yes.
Who are you? And what will your life look like when it's in alignment mm-hmm. with that person?
Oh, goosebumps. So make that list, you guys, make that list of who you are, because that will tell you who you are, regardless of the title or the job. That's your soul mm-hmm. speaking to you and reminding you why you're uniquely special and here in the first place. Oh my goodness. Thanks everybody for listening. Beth, thank you so much for being here. And you guys, I am so grateful for all of you to be in our journey as well. Bye everybody.
Thank you so much. I'm honored.
So you guys, I want to also remind you that everything that you need to connect with Beth is going to be in the show notes. So we are going to have all the ways that you, if you want to have a discovery call with her, I believe that's free actually too, isn't it, Beth? To have a discovery
Absolutely.
Call with you. If you want to follow her on social media, if you want to do any of the things to be in Beth's world, like I do, you're going to want to check out the show notes. Beth, can you tell us, you know, anything else, any other tidbits that we would want to have in order to get into your world more?
Absolutely. In addition to joining the Facebook group, the book that I discussed, Resilience Road, Exploring Your Authentic Life Path, is on Amazon. It's available in paperback and audiobook, which I recorded myself at a local radio station.
Awesome.
I am putting together, I'm launching a group of how authenticity can help you grow your business. And I do free book clubs every few months. And I also do groups on the basic first module of embodying your authentic self. So just watch out for those things or join the wait lists on my website.
I can already imagine some of my friends like gobbling that stuff up. So thank you so much for sharing. You guys, I'm so grateful that we have Beth here to give us all of these amazing tidbits. Thank you so much for listening to the Untuck Podcast. I am so grateful to be on this journey with you. And don't forget to check out the show notes if you want to get into my private club, The Better Club, to be able to learn better ways to be better, do better, and have better. So until next time, keep showing up. Let's get unstuck together. Have a great day.